appreciated the sermonette. As our nation turns further and further away from God, we certainly have to stand firm and be examples to this world. And there are many ways that we can set examples to this world. And the important thing is we have to obey God rather than men. And we'll find as time progresses that's going to be a real trial and a real test. Are we willing to stand up and do what God commands us to do, or are we willing to compromise and become part of society and do the things that society tells us to do, not necessarily what God tells us to do? Before I give you the title of my sermon, which I'll title it a little bit later, I just want to ask a couple questions. Does it matter whether we keep the Ten Commandments? Most Christians would look and say, absolutely, we should be keeping the Ten Commandments. Of course. But what about the Fourth Commandment? I find it very, very interesting. The Fourth Commandment. You can turn to Exodus chapter 20. Now, most of you know the Fourth Commandment. I think even the little ones know the commandments in order. Exodus chapter 20. Of course, you know where I'm going here. And we'll look at verse 8. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. I'm going to just stop there at this time and ask a few more questions. Does God really expect us to set one day aside out of our busy, busy schedule and keep a Sabbath in the middle of in that time of the week? Does God really expect us to give up our work, our income, and dedicate it specifically a day aside for Him? Is it realistically in today's society to do that? Is God really expecting a whole day off, a complete day off, take a whole day off and not be involved in something creative? Interesting questions, and yet these are some questions that people have asked about in reference to the Sabbath. And I find it very interesting. If we keep the Sabbath day holy, first we have to know what day is the Sabbath day. Now, I gave this sermon up in Lewistown because there was a lot of young people there last week, and I wanted to emphasize to them, because many times individuals will question, well, what day is the Sabbath? Isn't it Sunday? When I was growing up, I thought Sunday was the Sabbath, and I kept Sunday for a short period of time. My parents, I found it very interesting, they would send me to church on Sunday, and they would stay home. And I often wondered, me and my sister, I would say, Donna, I said, I wonder what they're doing back home. Probably having pizza or chicken or something good that they didn't want us to have. I think when I talked to my dad, he said shrimp. So he wasn't really doing something good. He didn't realize shrimp at the time was bad for us. But I found it very interesting. They sent us to church Sunday, and yet they stayed home. So they didn't really feel a real commitment to keeping Sunday either. But like most people, I commonly assumed that Sunday, my friends went to church on Sunday, my relatives all went to church on Sunday. So I just assumed that Sunday was the Sabbath, and that was the day I was supposed to keep, and that's the day we observed. But I found out that people who observe both Saturday as the Sabbath and Sunday don't necessarily make a full commitment. I found that very, very interesting. Even those who know the Saturday is the Sabbath day, they don't always make a full commitment. When you look around, it's obvious that most people aren't very high on keeping the fourth commandment. It's not that important to them. It's just perhaps a day set aside, a couple hours to go to church, and then when church is over, they can go out and play ball, or they can go and watch sports, which I have to say I did. I participated in sports, so I know what that's all about. Some people go to a movie. for relaxation. Some people go swimming. They do all kinds of activities, wash their cars, mow the grass. So the Sabbath, or Sunday, if they, as they term it in many individuals in their mind, it wasn't important. It wasn't important to commit a full Sabbath day devoted entirely to God. But rather it became a day, okay, we'll go to church in the morning or go to church in the afternoon, and then the rest of the day is my day. I can do all the things I want to do. I can have all the fun and do all the thrills, including amusement parks. People go to amusement parks. They go to movie theaters, shopping malls. At one time, you couldn't shop on Sunday. But now, of course, the malls are all open. It's an opportunity to make more money. So all the shopping centers are open, and many people do go shopping. Clearly, the Sabbath seems to be the most ignored commandment of the Ten Commandments. I find it very interesting. The one that God says to remember is the one that people forget. So I find it very interesting. Well, let's look at these scriptures that we just quoted here. Examine the fourth commandment, and let's see how they view in God's eyes. Take a closer look at the fourth commandment to get a better understanding of what they say. So I'm going to go back and read them once again. Exodus chapter 20, we'll start in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle. And I was mentioning up in Lewistown about the cattle. I said, I wonder what people do with cattle on the Sabbath. And then Linda, I'm not a farmer. So it's obvious when I start saying, well, what do you do with cattle on the Sabbath? You plow the fields. Linda says, you plow the fields. And then, they work with cattle, horses, and other animals. And it says here, not to do that, nor the cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. Now let's look at several points in reference to this scripture of Exodus chapter 20, verses 8, and we read through pretty much through 10. Again, you can read also verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So he made it a special day, and he commanded that we keep it holy. So let's start. Let's start breaking it down. It says to keep it holy. Well, actually, let's remember the Sabbath day. I think that's more important. Let's start with remember the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is something to remember. I find it very interesting. Most people assume that the first time the Sabbath or the Ten Commandments were introduced was at Mount Sinai. I find that very, very interesting. They assume that the first time God introduces the Sabbath was at Mount Sinai. But the fact is that he commanded the Sabbath to be remembered. So if it was to be remembered, it was already in existence. Because you can't go forward to remember. You have to look back to remember in that respect. So it already was in existence. So it should help us to realize that it was already in existence. The Sabbath was already in existence long before the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. So when it says remember the Sabbath day, that's a very important part. I find it very, very interesting that he revealed to the Israelites in Exodus 16. I'm going to just refer there. But its origins goes back as far as creation. It's a reminder of creation. As we will see, in that regard, the Sabbath is an observance to remember, a memorial of something of great importance. Not to take it lightly, not to say it's my time, I'll give God a few hours, but then the rest of it's my time. It's something that we need to take it very seriously, to remember the Sabbath day. The next it says, to keep it holy. Well, that's interesting, to keep it holy. The Sabbath is to be kept holy. Holy means to be set apart for God's use. Not for our use or for any purpose that we think that we should use. Rather, it is for God's use to keep it holy. Now, we're told to keep it holy, and we'll talk about that a little bit more a little bit later. Then it says, the seventh day is the Sabbath. Now, that's very, very important, because some people try to say the first day of the week is the Sabbath. The Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath day of the week. It observed Friday evening into Saturday evening, from sunset to sunset. as the Bible reveals in Leviticus 23. You can just write that down, Leviticus 23, because of time. I've got a lot of material here, so I'm going to just keep moving forward. But I'll quote some scriptures, and you can write them down and research and read them later for your study. I think we all understand about the Sabbath, but I want to emphasize the importance. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Most people go to church on Sunday. We realize I've got many of my friends that I used to associate with continued to keep Sunday, and they thought I fell away. It's interesting, thought I fell away. I went to Saturday and I fell away. Sunday is the first day of the week, as shown from most calendars. You can look on the calendar, and it's obvious. And people say, well, that's the Roman calendar. We want to talk something different. Look up in the encyclopedia and see what day the Sabbath is considered. You'll learn that it was actually Saturday. And we're going to talk about a little bit later how it was changed from Saturday to Sunday. So we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. Let's continue. It says, the seventh day is the Sabbath. And notice it says, of the Lord your God. He says, of the Lord your God. The Sabbath belongs to God. And there have been many people that claimed, that's my day. In fact, I worked for a Jewish man. I don't know if you've heard this story before. My wife says I've said this over and over again, but it's very effective in my life. It reminds me constantly that some people look at the Sabbath as, it's my day, and you don't have the right to keep it. He told me that right straight out. Saturday is my Sabbath, and you don't have the right to keep it, he told me. And I was trying to be polite and not be disrespectful. I said, well, excuse me, my Bible says the Sabbath is God's day and he commands me to keep it. So we kind of ended in part. We did talk about the holy days and other things, which I found to be very interesting. Again, he didn't get the point because he continued to say, well, you don't have the right to keep my holy days either. So he missed the point of the Sabbath, and then eventually he missed the point of the holy days too. But these are, the Sabbath belongs to God, not the Jewish nations or ancient Israel or many other people who may be observing the Sabbath. God gives them sometimes the knowledge and the understanding and the keeping of the Sabbath, but that doesn't make it their day. It makes it God's day. We'll continue. In it you shall do no work. That's very, very important. One aspect of keeping the Sabbath holy is to abstain from your regular work that you normally do. And again, that includes cattle. So I'm learning, not being a farmer, I'm learning how different things are used in the process of working. So again, it says, in it you shall do no work. So it's very important that in order to keep it holy, you have to abstain from working and the type of work that you do. It says, you, nor your son, nor your daughter. Well, that's very important, too, because it's not just stopping at son and daughter. We'll continue. The Sabbath is kept for all members of the household. It's to be kept. Now, unfortunately, sometimes families are divided over keeping the Sabbath, and some want to keep the Sabbath and some don't. You can't force somebody to keep the Sabbath if they choose not to. But it is told here that you nor your son nor your daughter, you should all be participating in keeping the Sabbath, as well as employees. I found that very interesting because I do have some employees that work for me, but we are going to end our work day or our work week on Friday at 4 o'clock, and so that's the end of the work week for us. So I try to enforce that as a reminder of the Sabbath coming in, so and they are affected by it, the employees. So they, too, should not be working on the Sabbath. And guests, sometimes you have guests that come to visit on the Sabbath. You should try to encourage them not to do certain things, like watch television. My dad would come, since he no longer is part of the church anymore, and he would come and he would want to watch football if he'd come to visit on the Sabbath. And I said, no, we're not watching football. So he was a guest now, even though he's my father. A lot of times I say you even have to encourage the guests not to do certain things. And I mentioned even the animals were to rest. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Here we're told that the Sabbath memorializes creation. It is linked to God. It shows us who the true God really is. It creates in Genesis 1. thus pointing him to be the true God, the true creator, and the one that we should praise and give honor to. Not the false gods that the many nations observe and the human interventions of ideas of what is godly and what's not. After creating Adam and Eve on the first day, God rested on the seventh day. Genesis 1:27, you can read that, chapter 2 as well, verse 3. Again, I'm just referring these. We know them pretty much, have them memorized in reference to the Sabbath. He instituted the Sabbath at the time at the presence of the first two human beings to exist on the earth. And so it was introduced long before Mount Sinai, which many people said through the nation of Israel or the Jewish people. It was brought, the Sabbath was introduced long before. And rested on the first Sabbath. God set an example for us to emulate. So it's very, very important. Let's continue. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And that truly he did. Again, we see that God established which day is the Sabbath. He reveals it as the Sabbath, and he said he hallowed it. Hallow means to make holy. Now, this is very, very important. Hallow means to make holy. By definition, God alone is the only one that can make something holy. We are to keep it holy, but God makes it holy, dedicating for his use. Man cannot make anything holy. If anything, he'll make it unholy by the examples that he does, that he says. Nor can he make anything unholy if God has made it holy. So he can say, well, the Sabbath doesn't exist anymore. You know, you can do whatever you want. No, that doesn't make it right either. It's important to consider that when we examine whether we should observe the Sabbath, and if so, what today do we keep? Now, I'm going to give you the title of my sermon now. I say, wow, it must be about the Sabbath. Yes? The title, if you don't want to write it down, Invitation to the Sabbath and God's Holy Days. Invitation to the Sabbath and God's Holy Days. I know I went through a lot before I introduced the sermon's title, but there was a purpose for that. I wanted to lay the foundation, as God laid the foundation at the very beginning for Adam and Eve, based on the Sabbath. It's very interesting. Exodus, let's turn to Exodus chapter 16 while we're in Exodus. I mentioned earlier that the Ten Commandments were revealed long before Mount Sinai. God expected Adam and Eve to observe the Sabbath, which was the fourth command of the Ten Commandments. The Israelites began to complain in Mount Sinai about the lack of food. They grumbled and complained about their time and journey in the desert. After leaving Egypt, we wished to go back. They said about all the wonderful things. They were slaves. It wasn't wonderful life back in Egypt. They were slaves. And yet, when they went out into the wilderness, into the desert, and they began to be afflicted by different things, they murmured and complained against Moses, and they didn't realize it wasn't Moses they were murmuring and complaining against. It was God who they were complaining. So God used a miracle to reveal to the Israelites once again which day was the Sabbath. And to prove to them through a miracle, and to show them for them to remember. I think it's very, very important for us as well, the term remember the Sabbath day. He emphasized it very, very strongly. The Israelites, as they were complaining and murmuring, God used over here in Exodus chapter 16, we'll look at verse 4. Exodus 16, verse 4 says, And then the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them. Notice he said, I'm going to prove them and see whether they're going to obey the Sabbath or not, whether that they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they shall bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gathered daily. Now, there was a purpose for that, preparation day. That's what it was, to prepare them. It said, And Moses and Aaron said unto the children, At even then you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. So again, it was another miracle. But this miracle was going to prove which day was the Sabbath. So in the morning, then they seen the glory of the Lord, for he had heard them murmuring against the Lord. And they said, what are we that we murmur against us? And Moses said that you shall be, and you can continue to read down in the evening about complaining about eating. So God made a unique opportunity here. Here we see that God made manna, or used manna as a witness to the Israelites, which day was going to be Sabbath. Because on the Sabbath, they were not to gather, or the seventh day, they were not to gather any manna. Now, he told them, you only gather enough for your family. Any leftover would spoil. And it talks about turning to worms and spoil or be polluted. So they were only supposed to gather as much as they needed. But on the sixth day, they were to gather, and it didn't spoil. It would carry over to the Sabbath day, so that they did not work on the Sabbath to go out into the fields to gather up the manna on the seventh day. Rather, they gathered extra portion on the sixth day, which is the preparation day. Again, God showing them which day to prepare for the Sabbath and to observe the Sabbath by not going out and working and seeking manna. But like everyone in ancient times, many of them rebelled. Many of them decided they were going to go out and look for manna, but they couldn't find any. It wasn't there. So God revealed which day was the Sabbath through a miracle of using of the manna. I find that very encouraging, not only for us, to confirm that God didn't do away with the Sabbath. He could have at that time. He could have let them just go on to another day, but it was obvious he still enforced the Sabbath. And he was using that miracle example to prove which day was the Sabbath. That's a very important, I think, miracle and something for us to consider when people say about the Sabbath. That's not important. It was important enough to God to reveal again, remember the Sabbath day. Now we can continue to read about that, and you can continue in verse 15 through 30. And it says in verse 24, I'm just going to refer quickly because this is why it was important that they only gathered so much. And they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink. So if they would have carried over the other days, the manna would have smelled. It would have stink, it said, and there would have been worms therein. But because it was the Sabbath day, God allowed it to continue to be eaten on the Sabbath, and it didn't spoil. So that's very important to show which day was the Sabbath. Every time the Israelites tried to gather up more manna they would use than they could use on one day, verse 20 it says it would turn notwithstanding, and I said notwithstanding, they hearken not unto Moses, they hearken not unto God. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to go out and gather manna on the Sabbath. But some of them left, and some carried it over and throughout the week, and that was carried over through the week. It spoiled except on the Sabbath day. So I just find that very, very interesting. It was a test of proving. Would they obey God or not? And many failed the test, unfortunately. Was it important that they observed the Sabbath on the correct day? Absolutely. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't have made the exception. He wouldn't have showed the exception by using manna as proof which day was the Sabbath. So it's obvious God still feels the Sabbath is very, very important, because they do not do what is meant to suffer from real hunger. For those who didn't gather extra on the sixth day, then they knew what hunger was about, and they murmured and complained again. They didn't have manna on the Sabbath. God reinforced the importance of the Sabbath and the keeping on the seventh day. Because he said, gather twice as much on the sixth day. So he again reveals through the miracle. A fantastic miracle. And it's interesting. It was repeated literally thousands of times. If you think about it, 40 years, and they did it 6 days. That's thousands of times that they ate manna in the wilderness. So it was revealed thousands and thousands of times as a reminder which day was the Sabbath. So they had no excuse. No excuse to say, I don't know which day is the Sabbath. Manna was the proof of which day was the Sabbath. Through providing manna for 6 days, God was testing or proving his people. Would they obey him or wouldn't they? As his people, but how he was testing was through the manna to see whether they would obey. His people, unfortunately, they didn't always learn the lesson. Many of them had to learn the hard lesson. And rebellion is still to this day sometimes. God wanted to see whether the Israelites would really believe him. Would they really truly believe him? No, unfortunately many did not. They wanted to do it their way. Would they trust in him? No, they wanted to trust in themselves. They went out looking for manna on the Sabbath. And in God's eyes, they were laboring. So that was not keeping it holy. Would they believe God that he was really acting out in their best interest? Was God really truly interested in them? That they put restrictions on them? Yes, absolutely. He was looking for their best interest. He would bring them and he would bless them for obedience. He would give them blessings, but he would also curse them for disobedience. And so many of them suffered the consequence. So immediately after giving the Ten Commandments, God explained, let's look at that over in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I think this is very important. Because why did the Israelites constantly murmur, complain, and grumble and growl, and as I say, grumpy old people? I'm an old person, but we have to learn the lesson. Even the young people were grumpy at this time. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Listen to what God says here. It says, "Oh, that there were such a heart in them." They didn't have the right heart, is the whole problem. "That they would fear me and keep my commandments always, that they might be well with them and with their children forever." And so he said, if you would just obey me and do as I tell you, you would be blessed and your children would be blessed. You'd have a wonderful blessings. But they didn't have the right heart. The heart wasn't there. They wanted to do it my way or the highway mentality. And unfortunately, that still exists today. It's my way or the highway. You either do it my way or you're out of here. So the test of faith was, again, God wanted to know if they would obey or not. To recognize that his laws were expressed by his holy, righteous character, God's righteous character, loving character. You can read about that in 1 John. He wanted them to recognize that his law was a way of life. It wasn't all, do I choose to do this? Do I choose not to do this? It's not a matter of choice. It was something that God wanted them to do. And he wasn't asking a lot. He was blessing them. The Sabbath is a joy. It's a delight. And yet they murmured and complained and grumbled and growled. And then when God did show them which day was the Sabbath, they violated it by working and trying to find do it their way. And they were missing the whole point of why it was such a blessing. The Sabbath was such a blessing for them. But they missed the whole point. And God, like I said, he had to prove them. He wanted to recognize that his law was a way of life. And unfortunately, many failed the test. You can read about Romans 13, verses 9 and 10, Galatians 5, verses 14, 2 John 6. By living that way, they would develop godly character. They would be obedient to God, and they would reap the benefits. God also told the Israelites that the Sabbath would be a sign between him and his people. So that's another important lesson that the Israelites would learn. Exodus 31. Turn to Exodus 31. Look at verse 13. "Speak you unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily, my Sabbaths." Now, it's not just the Sabbath only, but it's also the Sabbaths or the holy days, as he's referring here. "You shall keep, for it is a sign between me and throughout your generation, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. And everyone that defiles it shall be put to death." So it was very, very clear cut. Either you kept the Sabbath or you didn't. If you didn't keep the Sabbath, you could be put to death. So again, unfortunately, many people failed the test. And regrettably, the Israelites never made it to the Promised Land, the first group, the adults. The younger generation were the ones. And only because God fulfilled his promise that even they made it to the promised land, because many of them failed the test too. But out of God's love and promise of the promised land, of taking ancient Israel into the land, he did take them in, and Joshua and Caleb were the only adults at that time that were able to take them into the promised land. The house of Israel rebelled constantly throughout history. They rebelled against God in the wilderness. They rebelled against God in keeping his judgments and statutes. They despised his statutes. And then, like you said, if only there was a heart in them that they would obey. Well, they will have the opportunity later on. Once again, they will have the opportunity to be resurrected and be given the truths of the Sabbath and the holy days once again. The first generation that left Egypt died in the wilderness. That whole generation, the first generation. God, however, remained faithful, as I mentioned. He continued to remain faithful regardless of, despite all their failings. He brought those Israelite descendants into the promised land and established the nation of Israel. It ultimately, they were faithless. He didn't have to do that. But God is a God, if he says he's going to do it, he does it. That's a very important lesson for all of us. If he says he's going to do something, he fulfills it. Not always in the time that we expect it to happen. Or in this situation, the first generation didn't make it. They didn't make it to the promised land. But he fulfilled it through the second generation. Is the Sabbath important to God? That's a very important question to ask yourself. He specifically states that the Israelites' most flagrant sins was the disobedience of violating the Sabbath and polluting the Sabbath. And that's why over in Ezekiel, you can turn to Ezekiel. Let's look at Ezekiel 22. I'm going to look at verse 26. Ezekiel 22, verse 26. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane. Neither have they showed difference between the clean, the unclean, and the clean. And hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, plural. Not just the Sabbath day, but the holy days. And I am profaned among them. And so they profaned themselves in God. They refused to acknowledge. So, yes, the Sabbath was very important. And God was totally disappointed in his people, the ones that he had called out and given the truths, the Sabbath and the Sabbath holy days. They polluted them. Have you ever seen anything polluted? It's disgusting. Totally disgusting. I remember seeing some of the old plain truths where they showed pollutions in some of the rivers and fish were dead and oil residue in the water. And that's what it's like. Smelly, stinky, polluted in the eyes of God. They polluted the Sabbath. And yet, like I say, they didn't learn the lesson. Hi, guy. The Israelites never fully understood. They never fully understood the purpose of the Sabbath and why God instituted it holy. They failed to understand that God earnestly desired sincere, loving relationship. The whole concept of the Sabbath is a loving, sincere relationship with mankind. He gives us a 24-hour period to devote full attention to him, his laws and commandments, and to learn and study and pray and draw close to him. One day out of the week. That's all he's forced, if you want to use the word force, is he's asking us, give him one day out of the week. You can work 6 days out of the week. You can do all the things you need to do. That's not saying not to take time out for prayer and Bible study. But the point is, do what you have to do for the first 6 days of the week. On the seventh day, that is a day dedicated to me, the God, our God, and devoting full time and attention to him. That's why it's so important that God desires a relationship with us. If we take 24-hour period and keep it holy, as he tells us to do, we are going to have a close relationship with our true God. If we take it haphazardly and we say, okay, I'll go to church in the morning and in the afternoon I'm going to play ball or I'm going to do whatever, we miss the whole point of why the Sabbath was created, why God wants to develop a relationship with us and with all mankind. Over in Isaiah 59, you can turn there. Isaiah 59, and we'll look at verse 2. I'm breaking into the thought here. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid your face from you, that he will not hear. So because of no longer keeping of the Sabbath and the holy days, individuals separated themselves from God. But in this discussion, he tells us that we need to reconcile with him. We need to draw close to him. We need to develop our relationship through humility and through the calling that he has given us. Another aspect of building the right kind of relationship between both God and mankind. And the Sabbath does that. It's a wonderful opportunity. Isaiah 58, you can turn, read there. Isaiah 58, verses 1 through 12. That we should hunger for God's word. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath day, he told ancient Israel, from doing what pleases you, rather than what keeps holy for what I expect. If you keep the Sabbath a delight, the Lord's holy day honorable, and he expects us to keep it honorable and holy. And if you keep it by not doing your way, which a lot of people look at it, it's my way, and not doing that what pleases you, but rather what pleases him, it'll become a delight. Now, I remember the first time I came to realize through my parents that Saturday was the true Sabbath day. It was a tug. It was a pull. I was in the sports and music, and I had to decide, would I give that all up to keep the Sabbath? So I tried a transition period. I think we all went through a certain amount of transition period. Okay, I'll keep Saturday, but I want Friday night to play ball. Okay, I'll try it a little bit. So I played ball Friday night, did music Friday night, but I went to church on Saturday. I kept the Sabbath at home, actually, the first 2 years when I learned about the Sabbath. Finally, my parents learned about the church, where the church was, and they approached me and they said, you're going to have to make a decision. Do you want to keep the Sabbath, or do you want to continue to do your sports and music that you want to do? So I remember the first Sabbath I went there, I didn't know anybody. It was a new experience. We sat down in the back row. And well, we came, I don't remember if we even came early. It seemed to me we came like shortly before services, and we left shortly after services, because we were going to get in, get out. This was going to be a new experience, but we're going to transition it slowly and get in and get out. So to go from keeping Sunday to keeping the Sabbath is a transition period for each and every one of us. We all have to go through a transition period. It's not always easy. You're going to have tugs and pulls, which I did. My friend said, you're no fun anymore. You used to go out Friday night. We used to have all kinds of fun, but now you don't go out Friday night anymore. So I lost a lot of my friends. And yet I gained so many more friends. Each and every one of you is a friend to me. And I appreciate God bringing me into the church, and I hope as well through that transition period that we realize we don't always do things right, and as we grow in grace and knowledge and understanding of God's way, we become more holy in God's eyes. But till we make that transition period, we'll make mistakes. We can't go halfway and do like I tried to do it, two Sabbaths in one way, try to keep it partly and not fully. So it is a transition period. Why is the Sabbath important to God? Because God wants us to have a proper, loving relationship with him. That's very, very important. It's all about God. It's not about us. We get an invitation every week. Every week we get an invitation. Now, God doesn't force the Sabbath down our throats and say, you got to keep the Sabbath, and if you don't, you're out of here. He lets us choose. Do we accept that invitation? Do we accept it, or do we deny the invitation? And sometimes we do deny the invitation. It's hard to believe, but less than 2 weeks, I guess it is almost 2 weeks from this Sunday, we'll be observing the Fall Festival days. That's another invitation. Once a year, God gives us another invitation of keeping His holy days. And so again, we have the option. Do we accept the invitation every year and continue to obey God and observe these days that God calls holy and special? Or do we take it casually and say, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll go this week. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll keep atonement. Oh, got to eat. How soon is this sermon over? So I can go get something to eat. What is our focus? That's the whole point. What is our whole focus of keeping these holy days? Are we fully committed? Are we playing church, as I mentioned to the young people? Is it just filling in space? Or do we take it seriously as God commands that these are His days and He says they're holy convocations and we should be observing them? He gives us the invitation. He doesn't force us. He doesn't force us into keeping them. He wants to know whether we have the right heart, whether we will observe them or not. And so we do get an invitation every week to keep the Sabbath, and we get an invitation every year to keep the holy days. We have a choice. And it does come down to sometimes why do people are not able to attend Sabbath on a regular basis, and why don't some people go to the holy days? There's a lot of reasons why some people can't attend the holy days or the Sabbath. I've always said it's not a matter of judging them. It comes down to their relationship with God. You always hope that their heart is right. But as we get older, and I gave a sermon, the four seasons of our lives, I don't know if you remember that sermon, the hardest season is winter. That's the hardest season. And as we go into the winter season of our lives, our health declines, and sometimes physically we're just not able to keep the Sabbath like we used to, or the holy days. And it's so hard because our heart is right. We want to keep the holy days. We want to be here on Sabbath. But because of physical conditions, sometimes it doesn't allow us to be able to keep the holy days and the Sabbath on a regular basis. God understands that. It's not that you're violating the Sabbath by not being here because of health issues or sickness. There are other reasons. Again, it comes down to a personal relationship between you and your God, whether you're going to accept the invitation or not. And if you cannot accept the invitation, that means you didn't violate the Sabbath. Yes, you may have to stay at home and study at home, get literature, watch some broadcasts because of health. God understands that. He understands what it's like to go through the cycles of life. This physical life is temporary. Eternal life is our destiny, our hope, our goal, what we will achieve. And despite the fact that as we grow old, we may not be able to keep the Sabbath the way we used to be able to keep the Sabbath, or keep the holy days, or attend the holy days. And anybody, as I was just talking with Aretha today, she's not able to attend the feast this year. After 48 years of keeping the Sabbath and the holy days, is that correct, Aretha? 48 years. Suddenly now, because of health issues, she's not able to keep it. So it is hard, and sometimes we just feel so bad for individuals whose heart is right, who want to be there, they want to accept the invitation, but because of health issues, we're not able to. God understands that. And again, the invitation is there for each and every one of us. Do we accept the invitation? Many have turned away the invitation. Many who used to accept the invitation is no longer accepting the invitation. It's hurtful to see many individuals that I know personally, and you know personally, no longer accepting God's invitation. But God is proving whether we will accept or not. It is a test of faith. It is a trial for some people to be able to do the things that we're supposed to do. But it's a divine appointment. I want you to think about an appointment. Okay, I also classify it as an invitation, but it's also an appointment. It's an appointed time. He tells us specifically what days to keep. The Sabbath is the seventh day. On the 14th day of the first month, the Passover. And we can go down the list of the specific times that God tells us when we are supposed to observe certain days. Imagine if God called you and said, I want you to come Wednesday to church. Okay? And you decide, I want to go Thursday. I like Thursday better. It fits in my schedule better. I think it's just all around more convenient. Did you make that appointment that God made? No. You chose another appointed time. And God says that's what people do. People change his appointed times, and they change Sunday from Sabbath to Sunday. And so the appointed time gets changed. How did the Sabbath get changed from Saturday to Sunday? That's a very important question. I think our young people needed to know that. I'm going to talk about that for a few minutes here. How the Sabbath got changed from Saturday to Sunday. Because people will make all kinds of accusations and are convinced that Sunday is the right day. And they will try to persuade you that you're keeping the wrong day and it's no longer in effect. Sabbath is no longer in effect. But how did it get changed? In the New Testament, we see that Jesus Christ, his closest followers, the apostles and disciples, continued to keep and observe the Sabbath and the holy days. You can read about that in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. I'm going to just quote a few scriptures. Luke 23, verse 56. You can refer to that one. Over in Acts, Paul proves about the holy days. Acts chapter 13, verse 42 to 44, and chapter 17, 1 to 4. They continue to honor and uphold the Sabbath. So in Christ's days, it wasn't done away. It wasn't changed from Saturday to Sunday. We find that no record of the Sabbath being abolished or changed in the New Testament. Okay, so in God's Word, there is no evidence of proof that it was changed from Sabbath to Sunday. Although some people will take scriptures and kind of twist them and say, well, see, on the first day of the week, and kind of that, they don't get the full clear understanding. Now, that's something that if you want to study a little bit more into, you can feel free to read the brochure Sunset to Sunset. That's a brochure that we have. It gives you a little bit more specific details. And God's Sabbath Rest. So the question is, when did the Sabbath get changed to Sunday, the first day of the week? And we need to realize it was substituted. It wasn't changed. It was substituted. God did not change it. The apostles did not change it. Jesus Christ did not change it. It was substituted, and it was substituted specifically by various individuals. In a brief summary of basically how it took place, I'm going to just talk. There was anti-Semitism going on throughout the Roman Empire around the Roman time. As a result of the Jewish wars between the first and second century, members of the early church distanced themselves because they didn't want to be classified as Jewish. Again, the terminology is incorrect. These are not Jewish days. These are God's days that many of the Jews observed. But because it was labeled Jewish, people were feared out of being labeled Jewish because of that. And they distanced themselves. They didn't want people to know that they were keeping the Sabbath, so they kind of hid themselves and not want to be classified as Jewish from the practices that were commonly viewed as Jewish. And that's why the Sabbath was classified. Oh, that's that Jewish Sabbath that you keep, as some people will say. You probably remember some of that. At the same time, false teachers came into the church and started making doctrinal changes. And that's where a lot of the doctrinal changes, teachings took place. Over time, the church drifted from the teachings of God and Jesus Christ and the apostles to teachers teaching that the Sabbath wasn't important, that you could violate the Sabbath. In the 3rd and 4th century, the Catholic Church rose to prominence in the Roman Empire. Now, we understood the Catholic Church became a very predominant power within the Roman Empire. It increasingly incorporated customs, adapted from pagan worshiping. Now, this is very important. They accomplished pagan worshiping. Again, I'm not criticizing here the Catholic Church. I'm just bringing out facts of what happened. Among them was the elevation of Sunday, the day devoted to honoring the sun god, S-U-N, sun god, not S-O-N, a deity of popularity among the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire had many gods, and one of them was the sun god. And so that's what they were doing. They were taking and worshiping the sun god. Now, this is very important. Meanwhile, those who continued to hold on to the doctrinal teachings that Jesus Christ and the apostles kept, the Sabbath, the holy days, they began getting persecuted. And remember all the stories about persecution. There's many in the Bible that they referred to. By A.D. 365, this is A.D. 365, an edict by the Catholic leaders of the Council of Laodicea declared, now this is what they declared, Christians must not Judaize, they use the term Judaize or Jewish, by resting on the Sabbath. So they knew which day was the Sabbath. But they said, Christians, they only determined Christians must not Judaize by resting on the Sabbath, but must work on that day, rather honoring the Lord's Day. So it became the Lord's Day. And the Bible does refer to the Lord's Day, but that's a whole different time. And if you fully understand what the Lord's Day is about, they would not want to be worshiping that day. Because that's not going to be a very pleasant time when it is the Lord's Day. And we'll talk about that on trumpets, which in their eyes is Sunday. And if they can, they should be resting as Christians. But it shall be found, anybody who is found to be Judaizing or observing the Sabbath now in, among the Catholic Church. Now this is interesting because the Catholic Church was divided. Some were still keeping the Sabbath and were Catholics. Others were keeping Sunday now. But they were slowly moving from Saturday, those who were observing in the Catholic Church, to Sunday, it says, those who were found to be Judaizers, let them be anathematic from Christ. I probably mispronounced that, but anyway, they were, what basically it comes down to, they was excommunicated from their church. They were no longer Catholics if they were going to be keeping Saturday. Sunday keeping became the enforced time, or the Sabbath in their eyes, keeping, and the Sabbath was suppressed at that time. While some documents reform occurred as a result of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, again, this is another important part, Protestant churches, as a rule, continued to lead the Catholic Church by worshiping Sunday. But again, there was division within that as well. Not until the Reformation period, now this is a lot of history, sometimes history can be a little boring, but it's very important because this proves how Saturday was changed from being the Sabbath to Sunday. Not until the Reformation period was the ideal that Sunday worship was going to be introduced as a direct replacement, not by God, but by the groups, for the fourth commandment, or the Sabbath. The Catholic Church took strong exception to the Protestant viewpoint and argument, saying that the Catholics had to drop the Sabbath observance. So again, there were many Catholics keeping the Sabbath at that time. But rather, they were to avoid appearing to be Jewish. So they said, well, you can fast on the Saturdays, or the Sabbath. You can fast on Saturdays. They weren't trying to change the fourth commandment in their mind. In fact, the Catholic Church continued to honor the Sabbath as a consecrated day. They even considered it a holy day in their eyes for a period of time. And though the importance of abstaining, they were to use it as a day of fasting, a special day of fasting. For several centuries, Sunday observance became predominant, and then eventually it was changed. Both Catholics and Protestants are willing to admit that Sunday observance cannot be justified from the scriptures. And I'm going to quote a bishop here in a minute. Notice the bishop's name was Cardinal Gibbons. I don't know if you're familiar with Cardinal Gibbons. He was the Archbishop of Baltimore, and he wrote in the book Faith of Our Fathers. It is not every Christian's obligation to sanctify Sunday and to abstain on that day from unnecessary servile work. So again, he introduces Sunday as that's the day that they should get. Is not the observance of this law among the most predominant of our sacred duties? So again, he's re-emphasizing what the Catholic teaching is. But you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Now this is Cardinal Gibbons saying that the Bishop of Baltimore. It says, you can read, let me go back to my thought here. You can read you may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I want to quote him, so I don't want to misquote this. You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you will not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday. So he just kind of denied Sunday. So he's kind of playing both ways here. The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday. So he acknowledges Saturday as the Sabbath. A day which we clearly never sanctified. So the Catholic Church never sanctified Saturday. He goes on to explain that this is, like other practices, nowhere found in the Bible. It was instituted by the Catholic Church on its own authority. That's quite a statement by one of the Catholic bishops. So in general speaking, it was changed through man's choice, not God's choice. Men chose to change the Sabbath. It's a test for each and every one of us. Are we willing to accept the invitation that God gives us every week? Are we willing to continue to be faithful? Our example, as we heard in the sermonette, our example will be a light to the world. We're going to be different, brethren. If we keep the Sabbath and the holy days, we will stand out like a light or a sore thumb. No, I say a light or a sore thumb. Because depending on our example, if we set a good example, we'll be a light. But if we set a bad example, we're going to be a sore thumb. Now, we may be a sore thumb to even setting a good example because people will look at us and be guilty. They know, many people know, which day is the Sabbath. I have friends of mine that looked at the calendar and they said, yeah, the seventh day is Saturday, and you keep Saturday. I even had a gentleman come in our store, and he says, the calendar's seventh day is Saturday. Now, he's Mennonite. This young fellow's Mennonite. And he said, how did it get changed to Sunday? Well, I didn't go into all the details because you could spend hours explaining how I said it was changed by man. So I explained that to him, and he, in his mind, I'm not saying he's totally convinced. He's going through a transition. Now, whether God will call him or not, only time will tell. But again, God works with a lot of people. And a lot of people know that Saturday is the Sabbath. That doesn't mean they keep it. They may be going transition. They may never, ever fully keep the Sabbath in their lifetime. But everyone that ever exists, every person that ever exists, will have the invitation from God to keep the Sabbath, whether it's in this lifetime or it's in the kingdom of God, as the kingdom is established and the resurrections are fulfilled. Every mankind, every person will have the opportunity to have the invitation to keep the Sabbath in the holy days. So the invitation is not just for us. It's a privilege, brethren. We are tremendously blessed and honored to know God's plan for mankind, what the purpose of the creation, and why God determines that the Sabbath is holy, and what this holy day's picture in his plan, salvation for mankind. We've been tremendously blessed. That doesn't make us any better. That doesn't mean that we're so much better. We should be humbled and thankful that God called us at this time. I know this is probably some of the hardest times, as times, perilous times come. We're going to be tested. Will we continue to accept the invitation that Jesus Christ and God the Father gives us? Will we be faithful to the end? Will we endure to the end? The invitation is there for us. And we have followed, and we are here, and we are accepting his invitation. But will trials, tribulations, will they pull us away? I can't speak for any of you. I can only speak for myself. We have to be strong, brethren. We have to be faithful. We have to endure to the end. We've been given a tremendous blessing of understanding the Sabbath and the holy days, and giving a wonderful opportunity of being part of the first fruits. Not that we earned it, not that we were worthy of it, we were so much greater than every one of those evil people out in society. No. We were very, very fortunate that God looked down and called each and every one of us and given us the invitation. I want to give you some more facts. I mentioned I had a lot of information. I find a lot of this information I got from an article in the Good News. Wonderful information, and I used a lot of it in my sermon today because it's just encouraging to be faithful, to endure, to do the things. But I want to talk some scriptures, the Sabbath and the scriptures in the Bible. And these is a little bit of history tied into it, a little bit of good statistics. I'm one for statistics. I like statistics. Now, again, statistics can be used good and bad both ways, but these statistics are very good. So I'm going to share some with you. Most people have given little thought as to what God says about the Sabbath in His Word. So I'm going to give you a little highlights. How many times do you think the Sabbath is mentioned in the Bible? Any guess? Any guess? You're close. You're very close. 117 times the Sabbath is mentioned in the Bible. Anybody want to guess how it's divided from the Old Testament to the New Testament? I'll give you a little hint. It's closely divided. A little bit more in the Old Testament. 61 times in the Old Testament. 56 times in the New Testament. The Sabbath is referred to. None of these mentioned refer to Sunday. So for those who try to say, well, that's Sunday, no. It's all strictly referring to the seventh day of the week, not the first day of the week. So that's very important. And in reference, I mentioned about Leviticus 23 and keeping from Friday night to Saturday. The Sabbath is mentioned 45 times in the first four Gospels. 45 times. So it's really emphasized very strongly in the New Testament first four books. Far more than the number of times it's mentioned in the first five books of Moses, which everybody refers back to. When Moses introduced the commandments to us. And many people say, emphasize about Moses being their source of understanding. But it's mentioned 45 times in the first four, far more number of times than in the first five books of the Moses. The Sabbath was made for man, and we understand that. The Sabbath was made for man, not for any particular group, which people claim. I mentioned earlier I had worked for a Jewish man. He said these were his days, and I didn't have a right to keep them. They were for mankind, not any particular group. Yes, he shared it with the Jewish nation, ancient Israel, but the Jewish nation, ancient Israel, was not all Jewish. There was 12 tribes. 10 of them were Jewish, and 10 were not Jewish. It was not for any particular race or nationality, and you can read that over in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. You can refer to that. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And this is something that a lot of people have used in reference to try to disprove the Sabbath. Jesus Christ's custom was to keep the Sabbath, and that's true. And they're saying, well, see, he only kept it because he was Jewish. They missed the whole point. He only kept it because he was Jewish. He kept it because he knew that was the right day. He kept it out of obedience. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, you can refer to that. Jesus expected his followers to be keeping the Sabbath at the time of the end. And let's turn to that. Matthew 24. Talks about what's going to happen at the end times. Matthew 24, and let's look at verse 20. And this is something very important because there's differences of opinion in reference to this scripture. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. So Christ emphasized, okay, when it comes down to the end time, and there's difficult times, and there will be a flight, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath day or in winter. So he distinctively says, pray that it's not in winter time, because that's a very difficult time to be fleeing and going somewhere. It doesn't tell us where. It just says that your flight be not in winter. Now, that doesn't say that everybody's going to be fleeing. There's a lot of confusion when it comes to this scripture. But the emphasis is, pray that it's not on the Sabbath day. So he was still emphasizing keeping the Sabbath. So that's very, very important. And keeping the Sabbath. The apostles taught both Jews and Gentiles on the Sabbath day. Now they could have easily, if they were going to change from Saturday to Sunday, the apostles could have made it very convenient and say, okay, starting next week, we're going to observe the first day of the week. No, they never even hinted it from any of their teachings that it was necessary to make any changes. Acts chapter 13, you can refer to that, verse 42 to 44. And Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 4. I'm trying to speed along here because time, I said I had a lot of material. Anytime you talk about the Sabbath and the holy days, there's always a lot of information about it. After Christ established his kingdom on earth, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship him. So again, the Sabbath is going to be established in his kingdom. Out of 117 times the Sabbath is mentioned in the scriptures, not a single one hints that the Sabbath has been changed to another day or even abolished, as some say. Oh, it doesn't matter. If I want to keep Friday, I'm going to keep Friday. I'll determine which day is holy. No. It is distinct. The Sabbath is the holy day. And the Sabbath day is the seventh day. Christ emphasized, and it will be established in the kingdom. The Bible nowhere gives man the authority, which it was. It was changed by man. That's where the authority came from, man, not God, to change what God has commanded and declared as holy. So again, very, very important scriptures. You can look at that Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. And Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Nowhere in the Bible is there a command to remember to observe Sunday as the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Why did God keep saying, remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Because man forgot which day was the Sabbath day. And so he kept emphasizing, remember it. You're going to forget it. If you don't remember it, you'll forget it. But they didn't. They didn't remember it. They forgot it. And so man changed it. God wants the Sabbath to be a delight, an opportunity for him and for you, each and every one of us individually, to develop a relationship. And the Sabbath and the holy days are a very special time. It's a one-on-one relationship that we all can experience with our God. Yes, we have a busy work week for 6 days. Many of us work. Some of us work longer hours than others. We still need to devote time to God on a daily basis. But the Sabbath is a unique opportunity, and the holy days are a unique opportunity. It's a special invitation, a special appointed time for each and every one of us. Brethren, the holy day season is almost here. We have received our invitation. We're about to observe and enjoy the wonderful feast days that are coming. It's hard to believe. 2 weeks from tomorrow evening will be Feast of Trumpets, followed by a Day of Atonement, followed by the wonderful Feast of Tabernacles, which many of you will be traveling to different areas. I probably will have one more opportunity to speak to you. Not to everyone, but to most of you, on trumpets. I'll be speaking on trumpets. But keep in mind, you've been given an invitation. You've been given a wonderful appointed time, declared by God as holy time. And you are either going to pass the test or be proven to fail the test. You have the choice. Now, I understand, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes health limits us from being able to do the things we would like to do. God is looking at your heart. He's looking at how you view these days. These days are very important to God, and they should be very important to us. So, brethren, What a fantastic opportunity we have to be able to have the invitation at this time.